Mary Jane from PiratePods.com, and I'm calling New Zealand, speaking with
Tom Watson, who sings and plays guitar in Cassette.
Go ahead and give me a quick history of the band and what you guys have been up to lately.
Me and Craig basically formed a band about 9 years ago or something in Auckland. This guy, Dave Fraser, was staying at our house. He'd just been living in Melbourne. So he joined the band, and we released an EP, which in New Zealand was called the Emo EP. Mm-hmm. About a year after that, we all moved to Melbourne. About a year again after that, we released the same EP, and it was called the Nothing to Do EP, because there was some concern over us using the word emo, which really doesn't describe our music at all. Uh-huh. Well, I didn't realise, you know. I heard people saying emo, and I thought they were being sarcastic about sort of, you know, music with sentiment, but...
Right.
But no, actually, unbeknownst to me, there was this huge movement of music which only got bigger.
Right.
So we're not an emo band. Well, then we spent about 3 years playing around the place and slowly and quite painfully recording our first record, which, like, just, you know, I think because we'd had the songs for so long, we just felt that it had to be just right. And also we were doing it ourselves because we don't really have any money, so we just bought ourselves the wherewithal to make the record ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the time that it took for us to finish the record, our bass player, Dave Fraser, followed his girlfriend over to England, married her. And that time, a guy called Paul Trigg had joined us in Melbourne, so he became the bass player. And then we played as a three-piece for a bit, and then Craig, our drummer, moved back to New Zealand, and now Paul's not in the band anymore, and I've moved back to New Zealand. So we're based in Wellington now, which is our hometown. And that's, yeah, years later. And we've released our album in New Zealand, and we just finished recording an EP called the Cancer EP, which hasn't been released yet, but we've had the songs online for a while, and some of the tracks have been released to radio sort of reasonably well over here. Yeah, we just sort of play a fairly strummy sort of guitar rock music, songy. I don't know. I try to write pop songs, but it's with, you know, guitars and drumming and stuff like that. I'm basically describing every band in the world right now, aren't I?
Your EP had been called the Emo EP, and I thought that was a great sarcastic joke you were making, because your music sounds nothing like emo music.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what emo music sounds like to this day, you know. Oh. It's very Californian though, eh?
It is.
But that's sort of a pretty rushed history of the band. We're living in Wellington City, and we've got Dave Fraser came back. He was living in Scotland, and he's come back to Wellington, and he's not officially in the band again, but he is playing acoustic guitar with us. And we've borrowed a guy called Andrew Bain, who plays in a Aussie/Kiwi band called Fur Patrol. Uh-huh. So there's four of us at the moment, and it's been great fun. We've just been really enjoying playing, and we're gonna record a full length record in the last week of May. We've given ourselves a week to track it and a week to mix it. Sort of, from our past experiences, we're just all about expediency being the key these days. And it seems to work for us, you know. I think that we maybe had some sort of confidence problem about our ability to, like, deliver a song in a short amount of time, or that we, you know, there was just too much gestating going on, I think. We're just trying to bash it out now.
Well, that's good, because then you don't run the risk of overworking a song.
Yeah, we definitely get that. We'd be rehearsing and, like, actually getting confused about how fast we should be playing a song, because we really wanted to play it at the right speed. I think we drove ourselves completely insane, actually.
So how would you compare cassette's music in a greater music scheme?
A band like Wilco or the Neil Young thing, you know, Bonnie Prince Billy, it's all that sort of thing, you know. In the past, we've done a lot of that. It's not quite as folky as that, you know. We've even strayed into sort of vaguely poppy territory, okay. I think. Yeah, that's the sort of thing. I mean, people have said to me recently that they thought I've been listening to a lot of Tom Petty, you know, which I hadn't, but I have now, and it's great. But if that gives you any sort of indication of, you know, what our music's like, I find it incredibly difficult to just to describe our music. I'd end up using words like guitar-y and songy. Because we started out, I think we were doing lots of really slow songs for a while, but we're sort of picking it up now, I think, because I've been playing in bands for, like, years and years, and when we first started, we had some really sort of, like, things off the emo EP, there's some really sort of slow, sort of hayseedy, slacker sort of music, which is definitely a part of our style. But when we do up-tempo songs, they'd almost be like this kind of riffy, sort of almost grungy sort of thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we slowly sort of moved away from that and into sort of having it be a bit more sort of four on the floor, sort of strummy thing, you know, sort of speeding the songs up rather than playing an entirely different genre when we wanted to do something a bit more up-tempo. Yeah, so that's been an interesting development from my perspective, you know, just on how over the years we've actually sort of managed to define ourselves stylistically a bit better, you know. I think we understand more where our strengths are and where we're coming from.
I noticed that whenever I listen to your music, it immediately brings me into a different mindset. And so I was wondering if it does the same for you when you're performing.
I mean, there's a lot of sentiment in it, you know. A lot of the songs are sort of, we don't tend to write about frivolous things, you know. I'm in a mindset, certainly when I write a song, usually some sort of exorcism or some sort of way of getting something off your chest or something, you know. So you do tend to get taken back to that, and I'm definitely attempting to convey a feeling, you know, feelings as well as just sort of nice sounds. But how would you describe the space that you end up in?
Well, I don't know. Whenever it comes on my player, I just seem to get very serious and contemplative about things.
Great.
Well, no, I mean, it's not a bad thing. I enjoy it, but I just notice that I'll immediately stop what I'm doing, and I'm just like, okay.
Does that make you pensive? Actually, when we were in Australia, it became a bit of a sticking point with, like, you know, prospective record company people and such, that they would that our live show was sort of incongruous with our style of music. So we'd, like, play some sort of, you know, gut wrenching or, you know, song that was kind of serious or sad or whatever it is. And then just start making these ridiculous fart jokes, because we all love the sounds of our own voices, you know, and we just generally talk absolute rubbish between songs.
Oh.
And we actually had people, you know, coming up to us and saying, you shouldn't do that. You know, you're actually, like, destroying the moment, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no.
But the weird thing is, we never had that problem in New Zealand. And in fact, there was a sort of weird rumour going around for a while that we were actually a bunch of stand-up comedians who had, like, got together and decided to form a band. which is really strange, you know. But it's not true, I can assure you. We're just not that funny. I think there's something pretentious about, like, having to, you know, I don't know, you finish playing a song, you know, yeah, well, you know, that was about the time of my life and blah, blah, blah. I mean, people are generally out to have a good time, I think.
Have you ever wanted a particular artist to compose a soundtrack to your life? And if so, who would do it?
It'd be great to have Marvin Gaye do it, because he's so straight up. And it would be great to have your life being sung about along to sexy music with a falsetto. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I reckon that'd be great. That's the first person who springs to mind.
What about Def Leppard?
Oh, yeah, I've just had Def Leppard suggested to me.
Oh, that'd be different.
But yeah, it would be different. Pour some, I don't know, lyrics on me? I don't know. Come on and word me up. Nah, that's rubbish. Have you ever listened to that record he did about the breakup of his marriage?
I don't think so.
Here, my dear, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, some of it's rubbish, but it's amazing that he wrote an entire double album about the breakup of his marriage.
Yeah, it's probably a painful experience.
I think he enjoyed it, actually. I think that his ex-wife tried to take him back to court. I think he might have been a bit of an asshole sometimes.
Aww.
Oh well. Yeah.
All right. So, what's your creative catalyst? What gets you inspired to write music?
Well, like I said, it's usually things that are going on for me. You know, like if I'm sitting down to write a song, often I'll just be, I sort of go with that accidentally on purpose sort of game where, you know, like sometimes you'll sit down and be trying to write a song and you come up with this quite complicated conceptual thing, but it ends up just being kind of an exercise in making a song that's this complicated conceptual thing, you know, and it's kind of soulless in a way. And then you'll just end up strumming two chords and you'll mumble something and you'll go, oh, that sounds really good. And I just sort of build it from there, you know. It's sort of, it's accidentally on purpose. Like, I do sort of put thought and work into it to finish things, and finishing things is, I think, you know, that's the hard part. Usually it'll be a sort of a subconscious thing, or maybe, you know, I'll just have something on my mind and I'll want to express it in some way to make myself feel better, you know. I sort of think that it's important for people to talk about how they feel or why and stuff like that. I think that's a relatively important thing to do, so that's probably why I do it.
Well, like you said, cassette's been around for a couple of years, and so I'm just wondering, what would you consider to be the highlight of the band's timeline?
Ooh. We got to play a gig with Sonic Youth.
Uh-huh.
That was a big deal in Sydney. Yeah, that was awesome. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
Couldn't talk to any of them. Yeah, the other guys went next door and Craig got his chest autographed. And on our way up, we had this garden gnome, because Paul, was the guitarist in the band, he's a landscape gardener, and he picked up this garden gnome, and he got that autograph, and it looks fantastic. Like, they drew little badges on his arms and, you know, medals and stuff like that. He became our band mascot. We called him Schooner. That was definitely a highlight, you know.
Uh-huh.
Recording our last album, we got to go up to a big mansion and spend like 2 weeks at this guy Michael Gadinsky sort of lets artists who are on his publishing roster go up there and use the space, and it was quite amazing as well.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely great fun.
Well, you guys got to play a show with the Phoenix Foundation, right?
Oh, yeah, we've played lots of shows with those guys.
Yeah, how is that? I've just recently discovered them, and I'm a little obsessed with their music, so how's playing with them?
Yeah, oh, it's awesome. We actually, we're good mates with those guys. We share a practice space with them. They're lovely guys. In fact, Luke from the Phoenix Foundation is going to play a bit of keys with us, which is, yeah, we're really excited about. We had a bash the other day, and he was playing some Rhodes. It sounded amazing. Yeah, they're amazing musicians and great, amazing songwriters. They do. They make awesome albums. I've always been a huge fan of those guys.
Besides your band, Cassette, of course, what do you think New Zealand has to offer to the international music community?
I mean, we're doing a pretty good trade in electronic and dub bands at the moment. We're playing with a band tomorrow called Fat Freddy's Drop, who you may or may not have heard of. There's lots of indie bands, I've got a friend who plays in a band called HDU, who I'm a huge fan of. That's sort of a... sort of a art rock sort of thing, you know, a bit like a sort of Mogwai or Sonic Youth sort of thing. They play beautiful music. New Zealand's got a lot of that sort of thing going on. There's also Liam Finn's doing great things at the moment. Like, he's even touring the States right now. He used to be in that band Betcha Doofa. Really like his solo album. And he's good mates with this guy called James Milne, who calls himself Lawrence Arabia. And he's touring with Feist at the moment. He's an awesome songwriter as well. In fact, all things going to plan, I think us Cassette guys are going to be his backing band across the States and Europe later in the year.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited about that. There's lots, you know, and there's been lots of bands for years. Like, have you ever heard of Balthusface?
Oh, it sounds familiar, but nothing's...
They were based in New York for years, and they're an awesome band as well. When I was living in Australia, there's way more bands, you know. I don't think that they're as good for the simple reason that they have an industry in Australia, mm-hmm. and people tend to make music that they think is going to get played on commercial radio, or they tend to make music that, you know, they think is going to get them a record deal or something like that, you know. In New Zealand, it's so small that regardless of whether you try and make music that you want to be on commercial radio or not, you've got about the same chance of making a living out of it, you know. So the incentive isn't really there for people to get into music for those reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So people just end up tending to make the music they want to make, you know, as musicians. And I think that makes for better tunes, actually. A friend of ours called Annabelle Alphers, who performs as Bachelorette, she's actually touring the States at the moment, and her record, Isolation Loops, is one of my favourite records. And she's definitely worth checking out.
If you had to write a song using non-conventional instruments, what would you use?
Well, I'm quite interested in the idea of sampling things like traffic noises, or like, you know, when the lights are crossing, or, you know, I love it when you're listening to a piece of music and something outside starts clicking at the same tempo or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of interested in doing less sort of singy songwriting stuff as well, you know, like soundtrack type ideas, you know. I'm really interested in sort of making pastiches of sounds and things like that. Yeah, I'd probably be interested just to, like, gather sort of naturally or human-made occurring sounds, you know, like accidental sounds, and try making music out of that sort of thing, you know. That would be my non-conventional bent.
Okay.
But if you're talking about, like, a specific musical instrument, these, I don't know. Those saws are pretty good. You know, the...
Well, if you woke up tomorrow and found out that all your dreams had come true, what would the day consist of?
I reckon I'd probably get up at about 9 o'clock and go and play drums in a studio... a home studio, and I'd just be writing music, and I'd meet people and I'd play music with them, and then I'd be looking forward to some sort of bunch of gigs coming up, and that I was in a situation where I could actually support myself doing just that. I'd probably be living in some nice house that was by the beach, and I'd have a delicious meal and get slightly pissed. I've never sort of really kidded myself about, you know, well, what are the chances of making a living out of playing music and stuff like that. I'd be happy just to be able to do just that, you know. I don't need lots of money or anything like that, you know. I just need a a place to live and a bunch of people to make music with and share with, you know. I'd love to travel more than I do, but down this end of the world, it's just hugely expensive.
Well, I always ask all of my musicians the same three questions at the end of my interviews. First one is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
You know, in New Zealand, people say choice a lot. I probably say that. I tend to, well, choice also gets turned into chirps or choips. ridiculous words are definitely what I'm all about. It's a weird one because I can remember being a kid and people used to say choice all the time. And then it sort of died off as a teenager, but now people say it again. It's like this weird sort of nostalgic throwback thing where everything's, you know, people say, sure, bro, you know, it's choice. Yeah, yeah. And it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, but it's sort of just the way people say things around here as well.
What's your drink of choice?
I love drinking beer, but basically my drink of choice is probably scotch and soda.
And how do you feel about eyeliner?
I'm just not going to go there, eh? Yeah, eyeliner, rings, painting my fingernails. I mean, I don't begrudge people who do. In fact, I used to play in a band with this guy who we had our first gig, and he was like, oh, you know, do you want some eyeliner, you know? And I was like, nah. Really don't, eh? I think it'll make me feel quite uncomfortable. Something quite draggy about it, I guess. That's quite groovy. People have used it to great effect, you know, and like I said, I don't begrudge them. I think it's fantastic, but it's just not me. I guess I could say that I feel indifferent about eyeliner.
Do you have anything you'd like to say to your fans who are listening, or something clever to close this out with?
Well, we'll see you in a venue near you soon, and we will release our Cancer EP, even though it's taking forever, and everything seems to take us forever, but we're getting it together. Everything's sounding really good at the moment, and I'm having a great time playing in the band.